Over the Edge, Epilogue by Larry Vardaman. The Grand Canyon is a special place. I have now been privileged to make over a dozen trips to the canyon. I've seen vistas and experienced smells and sounds that I'll remember the rest of my life. I've shared in some of the sweetest fellowship this side of heaven with small groups of Christians in the Grand Canyon. Each year, when I leave the canyon after more than a week of heavy exertion, I commonly exclaim that this will be my last year. I won't be back. It's such hard work to hike the canyon. Why do I do it? But, invariably, the next spring, I begin to sense this strange urge to visit the canyon. I've begun to relate to Zane Grey's story, The Call of the Canyon, in which his characters can't bear to leave Oak Creek Canyon once they fully experienced it. The attraction of the Grand Canyon is similar and seems almost masochistic. But the Grand Canyon is much more than a physical and emotional experience. It's also an intellectual and spiritual experience. God has provided one place on the earth where you can see almost a mile of lithified sediments stacked vertically one on top of another. You don't need years of training as a geologist to see the evidence for the Genesis flood here. By carrying your Bible in one hand and your walking stick in the other, you can understand clearly what God is telling you about Earth history in Genesis 6 through 9. This is a slice through Earth's graveyard. The remnants of dead things buried by water all over the earth cry out for an explanation. The explanation is given in Scripture, if one has the ears to hear. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:3-9. If there's any place on earth that will force you or force us to recognize that God has brought judgment upon sin, it's at the Grand Canyon. It's not enough to simply recognize that fact, however. We must apply this truth to our own lives. We must repent of our sins and accept God's free offer of salvation to all who ask. The remedy is simply expressed, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. I've enjoyed sharing with you my experiences at the Grand Canyon. But this book has a much more important purpose than simply relating the fun of backpacking, rafting, or touring the canyon by bus. The underlying purpose is to help you, the reader, gain an entirely new perspective on Earth history. Because of this new perspective, you should have greater confidence in the Bible. And because of this confidence, come to the point where you must deal with your sin and accept God's offer of forgiveness. If you haven't come to the point in your life where you've asked God to save your soul through the finished work of Christ on the cross, I urge you to do so now. May God grant you peace, love, and joy.